Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, asking that you will open our eyes so that we can see Jesus. Jesus speaking to us. Jesus walking with us. Jesus preaching and teaching to us this morning. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit will be in each one of our hearts as we open your word. We ask your blessing, and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We've come to the last part of this study through the book of Daniel. We've called it God Knows. Amen? He knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. And he knows exactly who you and I am. Amen? He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what happened to you this week. And he wants to be part of the solution to any question, any difficulty, any challenge that you might have. He knows the solution. And as we've been studying the book of Daniel, one of the most beautiful things that I've been able to discover once again is it's a revelation of who God is. That's what the book of Daniel is all about. And Daniel says, he's my judge. He's my guide. He's my comforter. He's the one who can show me what to do. He's the one who gives me strength in difficult times. And we know that Daniel and his friends went through difficult times, and especially because they wanted to worship God in a rightful way. We know what happened to the three friends. They went into the fiery furnace. And Daniel, when he was asked to stop worshiping his God for just 30 days, Daniel, don't bow your knees. Don't open your window to pray to your God. He said, I cannot do otherwise. This is my God, and this is the way I worship him. He was thrown into the lion's den. How many of you have enjoyed the series God Knows? Have you enjoyed it? Have you learned something? I've learned something as I've been studying the book of Daniel. And when I finish the sermon, I get feedback, and that helps me understand this book better. This last part, I think it's one of the most difficult parts of the book of Daniel. It's Daniel 12, 5 through 13. It's a dialogue. It's like the concluding remarks by Daniel, not only of the vision, which started with chapter 10, continued the explanation in chapter 11, like we saw last week, and now in Daniel 12, 5 through 13, just pretty much sums it up in a very special way. And I pray to God that I will be able to express in a clear way these thoughts. Few verses, but very hard verses. And I just ask God's Holy Spirit to help me. One of the big themes in the book of Daniel is this phrase that you find on your screen called the time of the end. It only appears in the book of Daniel. It does not appear in any other book of the Bible. And in it, Daniel just shares with us what God has revealed to him. And the first time it appears is in Daniel chapter 8, verse 17, where Daniel receives this vision of the ram, the he-goat, the little horn. And especially with the little horn, he asks the question, what's going on here? God, explain it to me. I don't understand this vision. And the angel explains to Daniel, it's for the time of the end, Daniel. It's for that time. This same phrase appears in Daniel 11:36 and verse 40. This time period called the time of the end. And it also appears in Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 9. Very specifically, the time of the end. So we're going to be talking about the time of the end. And these last verses of the book of Daniel as we study this morning. Ellen G. White has a very neat quote that encourages me to study these difficult passages of the Bible. I know sometimes we go, oh, this is something for theologians or for evangelists or pastors. But no, this is something that we're all encouraged to read. And she says this, the light that Daniel received from God was given especially for these last days. the visions he saw by the banks of the Ulai, and this is the vision of Daniel chapter 8, and the Hiddekel, the great rivers of Shinar, and Hiddekel is the vision of Daniel chapter 12, are now in process of fulfillment, and all the events foretold will soon come to pass. Testimony to Ministers, page 112, 113. Just as a review, last week we studied the prophecy or the explanation of Daniel chapter 11. And I know these were many, many verses we went through. And some of you might have thought, Pastor Sam, I'm going to have to go through it once again because it's so long. But the last part of it, verses 21 from chapter 11 up to 12:4, can be explained in this way or divided in this way. And it presents from verse 21 up to verse 35, Rome before the time of the end, or before 1798. And from verses 36 up to 45, I believe it presents Rome in the time of the end. And these are characteristics of things that are going to happen with Rome during the time of the end. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, presents to us the rise of Michael at the time of the end. And if you can notice here, you have the antagonist, Rome, in the previous verses, but then the protagonist, Michael, standing for his people. Amen? And that seems to be the structure of this explanation that we find in Daniel chapter 11, starting from verse 1, but finishing in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. This morning, I want to focus on Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it with you, since it's not such a long passage, just so that you have it in your mind. And I'm going to use the King James Version today. And I want you to follow with me with the version you're using. And I'm going to try to explain it verse by verse. So it's going to sound more like maybe a lecture more than a sermon this morning. But please bear with me. Be patient with me as we study these verses 5 and on. I read, Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Verse 7, And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. I'm going to continue with verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice, as it in my version, shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Daniel here sees something. He sees a dialogue between a celestial being and a man dressed in linen. We spoke about this man dressed in linen. Who is this man dressed in linen? It's Jesus, our high priest. That's who's speaking there. That's who's giving the answers. Can we trust God's answers? We can trust God's answers. And so here he's explaining to these celestial beings, as well as to Daniel, what will occur in the time of the end. I don't know about you, but growing up, I loved when people came over to the house, especially on Sabbath. You know, the table was set, we would eat, and then I would hear the adults talking with one another. And they would talk about these things I had never heard about. Many of them were like, wow, interesting. And I wanted to ask questions, but I knew I wasn't supposed to. You know, I wasn't supposed to be in the conversation. And sometimes it was a family member, and they would actually stay after lunch. And it was 10 o'clock at night, 11, and I was listening. I was paying attention. My dad would go, well, it's time for you to go to sleep. I was like, no, I'm going to stay. I want to listen to what they're saying, what you guys are saying. I learned so much about the world I live in. Amen? And it's good to have conversations and to let the children hear in many of these conversations so they can know the world that they live in and that they will be ready. And so here I can imagine Daniel seeing this great privilege of being able to hear the conversation between this man dressed in linen and the angel who asked a very specific question. And the question that he asked in Hebrew reads like this: Ad matai? Ad matai? Until when? Or in other words, when will these wonders happen? When will these great, marvelous wonders happen? The words for wonders is the word in Hebrew, hapelaot. It only appears in this form in this verse of the Bible. Nowhere else is this key word used. And in other passages of the Bible, the word pele is used to describe the salvific wonders of God. God's amazing power to save human beings. Amen? And so we find that this angel is asking, when are you going to do these great and awesome things? And if we think about it, we might want to go to verse 1 in chapter 12, right? Where it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. I can see this angel saying, well, when are you going to stand up, Michael? Your people right now are suffering, but this seems to be for still a time to come. But well, when are you going to do this? And then it says, it shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And I can see the angel saying, when will this happen? Again, it says that the wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the star forever and ever. All these describing wonderful acts of God. Now, this word pele is used 99% of the time to describe God's amazing and wonderful power of salvation. Amen? But 1% of the time, and this is in the book of Daniel, it's also used to describe, I don't know if to use the word wonderful or extremely bad ways of the little horn. It's only used with this last power. It's used to describe his wonderful speech or blasphemies against God, something horrendous. But more so, it's also to describe with what ugly power he will persecute God's people. And this is found in Daniel chapter 8 and in Daniel chapter 11. Two times only is this root word, pele, used to describe these acts of the little horn. And if I understand scripture correctly, These will be things that will happen in what time period? In the time of the end. According to verse 1, it says it will be such a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. And so this angel is asking Michael, asking the man dressed in linen, when will these marvelous things happen? And he receives an answer. And I'm so thankful that we have a God who can answer. Amen? Amen. He can answer our questions. Doesn't matter how difficult they might seem to you. He has an answer. And here it's described that he answers, rising his hands as a sign of a promise that this will happen. And it says, and it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he, the little horn, has accomplished with all his helpers to scatter the power of the holy people through persecution, all these things shall be finished. This still has to happen, was what this man dressed in linen was saying. There's another passage in the book of Daniel that has this same question, and I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 8. And we're going to go to verse 13. And this is important because this is how Daniel expresses this same question. And we're going to look at the answer that he receives as well. Daniel chapter 8, verse 13. Here again, he hears two saints speaking. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision? Again, ad matai, until when the vision? Concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And the answer we find in verse 14, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. If you notice, the answer is only regarding the sanctuary. And this is important because the other answers regarding the daily, regarding the abomination of desolation, regarding the people who will be trodden underfoot, is the answer that we receive in Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. So here, he only answers regarding the sanctuary. And he says, until 2,300 days, until 2,300 years, first, this time period has to go by, then the sanctuary will be cleansed. Then things will be made right. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, we find when Michael stands up and finishes the work of cleansing the sanctuary. Amen? Here, the time when this begins is given to us. Up to 2,300 days have to go by first. Then this process of cleansing begins. And Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 points to us that when Michael stands up, it is finished. It's done. He's coming to rescue all those who have their name written in the book. Do you want to have your name written in the book? I want to have my name written in that book and underlined if possible. Yes, look at that name right there. I want to be rescued. I don't want to stay here. I want to be rescued. So the answer that we find in Daniel chapter 12. First Daniel, or first, who was explained to the angel, these 3.5 times need to go by. And we understand that to be the 1,260-year period that began in the year 538 and finished in 1798. And with this, that time period called the time of the end begins. So what the man dressed in linen is telling this angel is that until that time period, known as the time of the end, that's when these things will happen. But we read in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8 that Daniel heard these things, but did he understand? He didn't understand. And then he said and did what I wasn't allowed to do when I was a kid. See, when two adults were talking, I had to keep my mouth shut. I was thinking here, I don't get it, but maybe if I ask a question, I'll understand. Well, Daniel had the great privilege of being able to ask a question. Amen? And we can always ask God what we're thinking about, what we're struggling with, what we need to know in order to make a good decision. And we find that the man dressed in linen gracefully gives him an answer. First of all, he says the following. The question that Daniel asked was, "Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And here the word end is the word acharit, the latter part. And it's used when the garment, and like the end part of the garment, it uses the word acharit. And here in the time, what will be like the last part of this prophecy you're talking about? Explain to me what's going to happen. I want to know. But the answer was, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are what? Closed up and sealed until what time? Time of the end." These words, Daniel, are not for your time. I know you want to know, but these are really for the people who will be living in this special time called the time of the end. But I like what this man dressed in linen does. He continues. He says, "I'm going to share this because I know there's going to be people living in the time of the end that need to understand this, need to know this, need to be ready." And this is what he told him. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried." It will be a time of great stress, persecution. "But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand." Amen? There is a group of people in the time of the end that will understand. The wicked clearly will not understand. And you might ask yourself the question, who are these wicked? Does anybody know? Can somebody answer? The wicked are those in Scripture who do not keep God's covenant. They are the wicked, those who despise God's law. Those who say, "I don't need the sacrifice of Jesus and that covenant that he made with humanity on the cross." Those are the wicked. And they live a life without God. They live a life without his rules. Several weeks ago, I was thinking, why do people want to live without God's guidance, God's rules? I mean, everybody lives under some type of rules. You go to work, the boss tells you, you do this, this, or this. There are rules to follow, policies we call them, that we need to follow. You go at home, and your spouse has rules for you. What you need to do, when you need to do it, how. And it's part of life, isn't it? We live under these rules. We use a car and we want to follow the rules. Amen? That's how we avoid accidents. But somehow we think that if we can just put God's rules aside and not pay attention, it's really not that important. I can do it my way. Oh, he'll understand. I'm only human. That we might find ourselves slowly but surely drifting away from a relationship with God and find ourselves in a situation, in a condition that we might even be described by the Bible as being wicked. Who are these wise people that understand? They are those who have a covenant relationship with Jesus. Amen? They want to follow God's word. They want to live up to the standards that God has for them. They want to put aside sin, and they struggle with it. It's not that they're perfect or pure or in any way just, have a repellent against sin. No, sin attacks them as well, and they struggle with it. But they know where to take these situations to, right? Take them to Jesus and say, help me. I can't do this by myself. I need you to help me. And this is the type of people that are called in the book of Daniel as wise, as those who understand the times they are living in. And then the man dressed in linen goes even a little further and says the following, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, that endures, that perseveres, and cometh to 1,305 days. Or in today's English, 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. This is probably one of the most difficult passages to understand in this section of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12:11. And studying the text with my father, studying the text with my brother-in-law, studying the text with other people who are wanting to know this message and understand it, I'm going to share with you a conclusion to which we've come to. And you don't have to agree with it. But I want you to at least know that we believe this is coming from the text. This is what the text is revealing to us. I'm just going to go really quick here through these slides because we talked about it again. We saw Daniel sees, he hears an angel's question in this section. He also sees hears the answer by the man dressed in linen in verse 7. Again, you have the same structure repeated. Daniel now hears but doesn't understand. Now Daniel asks a question and he receives an answer also by this man dressed in linen. In his answer, this man dressed in linen uses these key terms, which we talked about a little bit, the wicked, the wise, and now I want to focus on this word daily, and also on the word abomination of desolation, and the word days. The word daily is the word in Hebrew, tamid, and the word tamid is used in the Old Testament as an adverb, which means regular or continual. And it's used specifically to describe the service that was done in the sanctuary. On a regular basis, the priest would sacrifice a lamb in the morning and in the evening. On a regular basis, the priest would burn incense on the altar of incense. On a regular basis, the priest would light up the candles in the sanctuary. On a regular basis, and this was once a week, but on a regular basis, on a tamid basis, he would put the breads, the showbread, on the table of showbread. He would put this spread on a regular basis. And this described the regular, the continual, the true worship of the all-living God. Amen? This is what this term described, the sanctuary service, what was happening there on a regular basis. The word abomination is the word shikutz in Hebrew, and it has to do with idolatry. It's always 100% of the time used in relationship to Molech, to Ashtaroth, to Asherah. And this term describes, in very clear terms, an idol. An idol that will take the place of God's true worship. An idol that brings desolation. Because if we see in the Bible what would happen when God's people would go after idols, what would happen to their city? It was desolated. It was destroyed. To go against what God has said in his word only brings pain and destruction. Can we say amen to that? That's what happens when we leave God's way, when we leave the worship of the true God. Only we can expect destruction and desolation. And this is exactly what is happening or being described here. True worship is going to be taken away, and false worship is going to be put in its place. I ask the question, and this is an important question, in what context does this happen? In the context before the time of the end, or in the context of the time of the end? That's my question for you. You don't have to answer me. I believe that this is in the context of the time of the end. This is the time period that is being described here. 1,200 days from that moment when false worship takes the place of true worship, 1,290 days. The word that appears for days is the word yom. And every time, 100% of the times, that the word yom appears with a cardinal number, that means a number that's 1, 2, 3, not an ordinal number like first, second, third, like it appears in the book of Genesis, it's a literal day. It's a 24-hour period. That's why we believe that God created the heavens and the earth in how many days? 7 literal days. The same term, yom, yamim, appears here in this passage. And what I believe it's saying, it's that when that happens, we have 1,290 days. But it doesn't stop there. It says this: blessed is he who endureth 1,335 days. For me, I think I can endure 1,335 days. I find it difficult to endure 1,335 years. I find it difficult. But this text is telling us that whoever sees this happening will be able to endure 1,290 days and even possibly 1,335 days, and there's a blessing. What this blessing is, I don't know. But it just says there's a blessing for he who endures. And then we find the last verse of this chapter, verse 13, that it says, Daniel, go your way. I think I've told you enough. You will wake up in the last days. Amen? That was the promise that Daniel was given. I know this is, a difficult passage, and one that we're still studying. I believe that there's some help in Scripture. But before we go to the help in Scripture, I just want to summarize a little bit what I've learned so far with this chapter. I've learned this: God is not afraid of questions. Amen? Because he knows the answers. You know, when you go to that test and you know all the answers, you're like, come on, please, teacher, put it in front of me. And God knows every answer to every question we might come up with. Another thing that I've learned is the context of this section is definitely the time of the end. Definitely, from verses 1 all the way down to verse 13. And the 3.5 times mark when this time of the end begins, in the year 1798. The last thing that I want to share with you is God's people will go through hardships, but they will be wise and they will understand. Not so the wicked. God's people, they will understand the times they're living in. I found Matthew 24, the sermon, the eschatological sermon of Jesus, helpful. And I'm just going to share briefly with you. This could take another hour. But I'm just going to share with you briefly these passages. Does Matthew 24 talk about the end? It talks clearly about the end, and it appears in verse 3 where the disciples ask this question regarding the end of the world. And Jesus uses the destruction of Jerusalem to share with them this passage. And also in verse 13 and verse 14, this word endure that appears in the book of Daniel, blessed is he who endures 1,335 days, is also found in Matthew 24. And if you have your Bibles, please open it with me. It's always good to hear you opening your own Bible and reading it. And I'm going to read just verse 13 very quickly here. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what?
Saved.
That's a promise. The one who perseveres, the one who doesn't give up, even though everything around them is falling. And I love the book of Daniel because Daniel is not just, you could say, just information, but he put it in very practical ways. He said, look, people, it happened to us. We were persecuted because of our faith. We were thrown in the fiery furnace because we did not want to worship what? The statue of gold. But we persevered. We endured. I was thrown in the lion's den because I did not want to worship according to the dictates of this king. I wanted to worship God according to the dictates of his word. Amen? And he was thrown into this. So he says, endure, persevere, no matter what, even if life itself is wanting, it's going to be taken from you. And then we find this phrase that only appears in the book of Daniel, but appears in this same sermon by Jesus, the abomination of desolation. And in the Greek version of the Septuagint of Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, it's the same phrase. Same phrase that we find in Daniel 12, 11 in Greek, in the Septuagint, is the same phrase that is used here for this. And it says the following, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And we know what follows there. It just follows, leave town. Don't stay to pick up, not even your jacket. Just leave. Hard times are coming. And God's people in the first century understood the message when they saw the Roman soldiers with their Roman standards that had the idols of their that they worshipped. When they saw that, they knew the time was near, and they fled the city. They got out of Jerusalem. They did not trust the walls. They did not trust their people, saying, no, don't worry, you still have time. They won't be able to defeat us. Look, in fact, they just left a few weeks ago. No, they said, this is time to leave the city. And they were saved. Amen?
Amen.
They were spared. Another key term that I find is also this phrase, great tribulation, found in the book of Daniel, found also in verse 21, and I will read it as well. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And I find there the word days, and also in verse 29 it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And listen to this. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Amen?
Amen.
That's the context. It's the context of the time of the end. And we talked about the word days already, found in verse 19 and also found in verse 22. I go to this section because Jesus is awesome when he tries to explain this. He knows that a lot of information sometimes just confuses us human beings, right? We got all this and we can't put it together, and we just go, what is he talking about? But he gives this message right after the series of events that he mentions in this sermon. And he says this, and we can read it together. I think it will help us all. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen? When you have somebody at the door knocking, you know somebody's here already, right? And this is what Jesus is saying. When you see all these things, not 10%, not 50%, not 80%, but when you see all these things, know that he is near, even at the door. I want to share with you what he continues saying in verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation, and I'm thinking of the generation that will see all these things, just like the generation that saw all those things in the first century, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. It'll be short. It'll be fast. It's not going to take decades, centuries, like it took for Daniel and the disciples to wait. It's going to be fast. But God has promised to stand by us. Amen? We're not alone. And he says the following in verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what will not pass away? My words. And if there's time to be studying God's word, specifically the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, it's in these times. Amen? It's for us to understand and to ask God to show us. And the next verse, I believe, is even more important. But of that day and hour knoweth how many? No man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God knows. He's the only one who knows. And he knows that we are living in I would call it borrowed time. Borrowed time. Do we have a message to share, brothers and sisters? Amen. We have a powerful message to share. Are there going to be difficult times? There are going to be difficult times. But the promise is that Michael will stand by our side. Amen. Just like he stood with the friends of Daniel in that fiery furnace. Just like he stood with Daniel and he kind of said to the lion, you'll have lunch later. Just wait a little bit more. Don't go after Daniel. Doesn't taste that good anyways. God will stand by his people. Amen. And will pour his Holy Spirit upon us so that we can endure. And the promise is that for those who endure, persevere, they will be saved. Amen? God bless his word and God bless us as we continue to study the book of Daniel. Amen.